All right, we bring back our guest from just a couple of days ago, William Fortgen, who wrote 1 Second After. He is also a Montreat College faculty fellow, and we wanted to talk to him about, William, have you read the World Economic Forum's warning that Okay. So they're saying a major cyber attack is coming, and they're focused really on the financial sector. They think that's where it's going to come. Which, any thoughts on that quickly before we move on?
You know, last night, my girlfriend and I were playing Jenga. You know that thing where you stack all the wooden blocks up? Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good analogy. Imagine our whole infrastructure is like a Jenga tower, and everything is balanced on one block on the bottom. If that one block goes out, the entire tower collapses.
And that one block
is electricity. That one block is electronics and our whole internet system. But actually, all the way down to just electricity. Kill that, you kill the entire tower.
So let's say that we were in war with Russia.
Yes.
Would they have any qualms of shutting our electricity off? Would they just go after one sector, or would they have any qualms of going after electricity?
It's a multifaceted attack, but electricity is the fundamental block upon which everything is predicated upon. Your computers, your telecommunications, space program, everything comes down to electricity. Now, it would be a multifaceted attack, which that would be one component thereof.
Why would someone go after the financial sector? Couldn't you reset the as long as you had electricity, couldn't you reset that pretty quickly?
I know at some point we're going to be talking about what we can do as individuals. So let's take it as an individual. All right. You lose the finances. Suddenly your credit cards don't work. Your banking account doesn't work. Maybe everything you have saved for years just suddenly, boom, it's offline. It disappears. What happens to us as individuals? And then extrapolate that out to your community all the way up to the nation. You disrupt the financial system. Basically, to put it in common parlance, we're screwed.
And wouldn't a central bank digital currency make things worse? Because you wouldn't have any currency at all.
Well, there's another part of our problem with AI and everything else. We're actually setting up a system whereby we become more and more vulnerable every day. 100 years ago, you know, back during, Roosevelt and everything else, systems collapsed. But if you had money under the mattress, you could still get by. Well, that money in and of itself is useless. Who will trust it? Remember Sandy in 2012 of people lined up around the block in New York City waving $100 bills just to get hamburgers at a McDonald's? And the guy at McDonald's is saying, hey, folks, I can't even deal with that. I have no banking system left. I don't want your money. It's worthless. That's the scary thing. Our money becomes worthless.
Now, I wanted to talk to you, and we had you on a couple of days ago, and just for anybody who missed this, just recap a bit how easy it is to take down our power grid and the attempts that have already been made. And it's my understanding, if we take out 9 or 10 substations, you can lose the entire grid in America, not for a short period of time. It's not like putting a new telephone pole up. It's for months.
Well, remember the great power failures in New York in the 70s and 80s?
Yes.
And in the one case, it all traced back to one relay switch that short-circuited out. Mm-hmm. That then caused the next relay switch to shut down. That started causing entire systems to go offline to try and protect themselves. Or look at Texas. I mean, you went through it 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. When the system started to go, it cascaded across the entire state within a matter of minutes. It's all automatically set up. It happens faster than any human could ever deal with. It's just boom, 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 boom of different electronic components suddenly say, oh, the guy next to me isn't working right. I got to shut down.
Right. But isn't that to protect the entire system?
How do you bring it back up? If Texas had had a full meltdown, how do you bring it back up?
How do you mean that? I'm sorry for being asking such simple questions here, but I know this just happened in Pakistan. They were doing it for some global warming thing, and they decided to take the entire system down for a couple of hours every night. They turn it off, and they couldn't turn it back on. I don't know if they still have, you know, power outages.
Exactly. Again, we as individuals, I'm sitting in my house right now. If suddenly, boom, it went off, how do I turn it back on? Do I go to my circuit box, which I can barely understand? You know, I'm just an ordinary guy in that respect. The systems become so interlocking and so complex that it exceeds the human capability to bring it back quickly. So it just automatically shuts down. And then how do you bring it back? There's the key. How do you bring it back?
And that's for a cyber attack, which you told me a couple of days ago. A cyber attack can, go in shooting one of those substations, which we're having happen now around the country. Somebody shooting at them can bring them offline. But if it's coordinated or even a cyber attack, it can destroy those substations. And China is the only one that makes all of that equipment, and it to order it in a non-emergency way, it'll take you over a year to get it.
Okay, our major transformers, I believe you and I talked about it 2 days ago, our major big substation, the larger substations, to replace a major component can take 2 years. Now, you would think, in a nation that realizes it could be facing this, we would stockpile key components. Now, certain things go offline, bang. Put another one in. No, we're a just-in-time delivery type of mentality.
Jeez.
And as a result, we don't have stockpiles of crucial equipment to help bring us back online.
Okay. So this means, give me the, you know, the scenario that you wrote in 1 second after. Open things up. And I read these kinds of things and reports and everything else. You did such a good job at keeping it, bringing the story to life in a realistic way. And then also showing me things that I had never even thought about. These things go offline. How long does it take? I think it's 72 hours before things really go into chaos. That was from a government study in the 60s, and it proved true with Katrina. Once people think there's no help coming, bad things really begin to happen. How long before a lot of people die? Is it that same three hours because of the lack of water? Or not three hours, 3 days?
Okay, if we went with an EMP scenario, how many people are going to die in the next 5 minutes? I'll ask you that as a question. How many people do you think will die in the first 5 minutes of an EMP?
I would say none. Because of the EMP? Very few.
A couple hundred thousand in the first 5 to 10 minutes.
From what?
Because there's over 2,000 commercial aircraft in the air right now. And a significant number of those, if they got hit by a major EMP, it shuts the computers down on the plane. And if you have Foley up front piloting you into the Hudson River, that plane's going to fall like a rock. So a couple hundred thousand within minutes, within the first 3 days, in a major situation, what happens to your nursing homes?
Right. What happens and your hospitals. Okay, so that would happen if they just, it doesn't have to be an EMP, if they knock the power grid out, the planes would be okay, but we just saw at L.A., you know, the LAX just went out of power, and it wasn't good.
You know, wasn't it just a couple of weeks ago, the entire command control system for the FAA shut down? and suddenly all the screens of all the air traffic controllers went blank. Now, it was only for a short term, but it was chaos. Thousands of flights had to be canceled, planes in the air. How are you going to put them back down? Or look at 9/11, where all planes were ordered down immediately and then didn't fly again for days. And that even was not a cyber situation. So your key components, or let me give you another example. Suppose all the traffic lights in Dallas suddenly shut down simultaneously. How many people are going to be hurt in the first 5 minutes?
A lot.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
So we don't realize we are like that Jenga tower, which is one little block, and then the blocks above it start to fall away, and then the entire tower starts to collapse. That's America at this moment.
I have to tell you, you just said you and your girlfriend were talking about this last night about Jenga, and I'd like to just offer my wife's services for counseling, because that's the kind of stuff that... And my wife is like, can we not talk about that tonight? Anyway, we're talking about catastrophic failure, something the WEF has predicted is coming in the next 24 months. And what can you do about it? And we are talking to William Fortune with he's the author of One Second After, and also he's with the Montreat College faculty. He's a fellow there. We're going to continue our conversation, but move it to, okay, if you believe these things are happening or possible, what should you do? We'll do that in 60 seconds. Bill, tell me, where do we start?
Let me point out one thing. There was once a guy who everybody thought was crazy, wrote a book called My Struggle. Nobody paid attention to it, really. And then for the next 12, 14 years, he kept saying, I'm going to start a war. Well, it became such background noise. The way you just pointed out, Russia's saying this, China's saying that. We don't pay attention. And then one day he started a war, World War II. The same thing now. We're getting so much data every day, we don't respond. And it's time we as individuals started taking some action for ourselves to protect ourselves and to protect our families.
Okay, so what do we do?
Your typical listener right now, they're savvy, all right? They listen to you. How many of those folks, I would ask, how many of you have a 2 to 4 week supply of water on hand? I'd say only a small fraction.
What's your guess?
1%? 2%?
And I was thinking about 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you don't want to buy the bottled water. Just save your 2-liter bottles. Clean them out well. And then just fill them up. Stick them in a closet someplace. That is the key thing to start with. Have a basic water purification system on hand. You can buy one at any hiking store or Walmart for $20 or $30 that can take doubtful water, make it clean.
Right.
And then we go up that Maslow hierarchy of needs. What's the second most important thing? Well, it could be medication. You have any number. The average person, about a third of the population, has to take some kind of medication almost every day. Well, do you have a 30-day supply? Are you down to 2 days, and then you go to the pharmacy and it's just in time order? Or do you find a way legally to put a 6-month supply on hand, that not on day three you're out in the street going, what the heck do I do now?
Yeah, I just found this service called Jace Medical. I think it's jacemedical.com. And they find the legal ways to, you know, get your medication so you can have a 6-month supply. You can have it on hand. Because that's one of the major worries for me is, you know, if you don't have medication, my daughter goes into seizures. I have high blood pressure. I could be dead. You know, all of these things, there's a lot of people, I learned this from your book, there's a lot of people that should be dead, and I may be one of them, but they should have died without modern medication. They would have been dead by now, and as soon as you lose that. But the problem is, you know, everything is so tightly prescribed and regulated that it's hard to get stuff. How do you do it? Do you know, Bill?
You know, when I first started the book and doing research, I sat down with my pharmacist one evening and just said, What happens to our typical community? At the end of that 1 hour, she was crying. Said, my God, Bill, it would be overwhelming within the first 3 to 4 days. Pancreatic enzyme disorder. You're dead. Cancer control. Any number of things. You're dead. You got to remember, the post-World War II generation is really the first truly medicated society in the world. 100 years ago, we died. We died young. Now we're living in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and pretty comfortable. But without those basic medications or the more exotic ones that you need, what about people who have had a transplant? They're going to die very, very quickly. What about heart conditions? I have an irregular heartbeat. I've been taking a medication for 40 years. I'm fine. Take that medication away, and within 30 days, I'm going to be bedridden because I'm going to be afraid I'm going to have an irregular heartbeat episode. These are basic things that we don't think about until it's too late, the day after.
So you put food in the third place. Water's number one. Medication is number two.
Yes. Hey, I just listened to one of your ads. I know the company, Patriots Supply.
My Patriot Supply, yeah. Yeah, I know. By the way, they also have the water purification that is amazing, and it's even something that you can have on you or in your car at all times, too, just in case. We don't think of these things. We just... That's like Stu and I always joke. He says, you're the most prepared man I know, and I'm really not, but I'm more prepared than he is. But I know in the end it's going to be one of those things that I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot batteries. You know, it's going to be something stupid that you just assume that you have.
I have a gross of double and triple A batteries down in my basement.
So do I.
And you want another thing? That would be a trade item. Somebody's going to say, I'll trade you a meal for six batteries.
Yes.
Things like that we don't even think of. And then, of course, security. And that's something I always predicate with. If you decide to get a firearm, get trained. You don't want to become an Alex Baldwin. All right? Get trained well if you decide that you want a firearm, and then have the proper ammunition and supplies on hand.
So if you have your house on solar panels and you've got buried natural gas or whatever for generators, is that also good to have in the plan? Self-reliance on these things?
I have a small solar array I can put out. But, hey, even me with all the books I've written and everything else, there's a heck of a lot of things I'm dependent upon my society for. And not everybody is going to go out there, lay in natural gas lines, lay in a 2,000-gallon cistern, et cetera. But anybody listening to you who lives in an apartment, a single mom with a couple of kids, get a month's worth of supply on hand that you don't have to step outside and contend with the chaos out there, that you are safe and secure in your home for at least a month.
And do you think that a massive, what they're calling catastrophic attack on our systems, cyber attack, that could last a month?
It most likely could last longer than a month. It could last. DOE study several years back said that if we had a radical shutdown, it could take up to 5 years to take the top 500 generating systems in the eastern United States, 5 years to put 80% back online. Because component parts, basic replacement parts. Do you recall the Israeli raid on the Iranians, about a cyber attack, about 10 years? They shut down the centrifuge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sputnik. Mm-hmm. They shut that. Just some software that they put in there caused all the centrifuges in Iran's nuclear program to suddenly stop. It destroyed them for years. There are things you and I don't even know about that at this moment somebody is sitting there plotting, boy, I could really screw up America if I pulled this block out of the system.